Okay, my name is Richard Smith. I'm a layman from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and I'm in Yaoundé, Cameroon, speaking with some of the Navigator key men here. We're going to talk about the importance of prayer. In fact, we're going to talk about how to become more devoted to prayer. But just by way of review, what Dan just talked about, which is the word hand, and what we're talking about now, as you know, represents what part of the wheel illustration? Where is what goes here?
As a word.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And prayer.
Prayer, I just said.
And prayer. So on the wheel illustration, we talk about the word and the prayer are the vertical spokes, because that represents our relationship with God, our vertical relationship with God. God speaks to us through the word, hearing, reading, studying, memorize, meditating. And we speak to God through prayer. And we need to, I just wanted to remind us that we're coming to a person. We come on, because Christ made a way for us to come before God's throne. We're coming to a great and holy God, a righteous God, a person, the creator of all things. That should cause us to have a certain attitude that Dan talked about earlier about humility. So we're coming to a person. And since he mentioned also a book by Tozer, I came across some quotes here that I want to start with when we come to prayer. And let me read that. It says, and it relates to the Bible, the word and the prayer together. Come at once, this is A.W. Tozer quote, come at once to an open Bible, expecting it to speak to you. Because it is alive. It's not just a dead book or a document. It's living, breathing. If it's inspired, it's God-breathed. God wants to speak to you and me, and he desires us to speak to him. So then Tozer goes on to say, O Lord, teach me to listen. So part of coming to God every day in our quiet time or any time or in meditation and prayer is the listening part. And sometimes I used to forget that part. I just wanted to rush and get into my prayer request. He says, the times are noisy and my ears are weary with 1,000 raucous sounds. So he was a firm believer, Tozer was, that if a person is called to know him, that it is a reality and God is inviting him and God is speaking to our soul, saying that God says to our soul, come away with me to a quiet place. Let us be together. Do you ever think about God that way, that he is calling you and said, let's go and sit somewhere and talk and listen to one another? So early in our Christian life, sometimes as we develop this habit, and it's a good habit and a good discipline, it's perhaps the arguably the most important spiritual discipline that is part of our Christian life. And that's the daily time alone with you and the Lord. And I would agree with that. If there's nothing else that you get out of this entire week, in my opinion, if we can convince you to spend time with God every day for the rest of your life, I would be thrilled. The problem is many people start well with good intentions, and as they go through life, they get busier and busier and busier, and God gets squeezed out. And so just a plea and a warning that when you're 30 or 40 or 50, I pray and hope that you are still seeking God in his word and in prayer. And these other things will come along. But we must be connected to the vine. Abiding in the vine is so crucial to being having a spirit-filled, obedient Christian life, the rim. You know, we don't really need to even tell anyone that we're spending time with the Lord, if we are spending time with the Lord. What I mean by that is, this wheel is dynamic. It should be moving. Okay, spinning. And when this wheel is spinning, can you see these spokes? When a wheel is spinning, do you see the spokes?
No.
On a car going down the street? No. If it's moving, you don't see my prayer life, my scripture memory, fellowship, how often I go to Bible study and witness. I don't have to brag or tell people about this. What they see, can you see the hub?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You see that hub?
It
stays fixed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's typically shiny. It stands out. So the hub is Christ. So when we're doing, when the spirit-filled, obedient Christian is active, you see Christ. And if you can't see Christ in someone and you see the spokes, the wheel isn't turning very fast. Anyway, just a short. So he also said, come away to me to a quiet place. Let us commune and enjoy sweet fellowship. And that's what God desires. He actually wants to reveal himself to you more deeply and enjoy sweet fellowship. He says, the heart that responds to God's quiet call will be rewarded because God is a person. This cannot be achieved in one encounter. It's a response of personality to personality over time. And so the exciting thing is that if you are a new or Christian in the quiet time, you're just beginning. You're just beginning to know this great infinite God. He is. There's so much more about him that I'm learning. He says it's ironic that he says, oh Lord, this is a prayer of Tozier, and it's my prayer for us if we don't get very much further in this. This is his prayer. Oh God, I tasted your goodness and it has satisfied me but made me thirsty for more. I am conscious of my need for further grace. I am ashamed of my lack of desire. Oh God, the trying God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be more thirsty. Begin a new love within me. Give me the grace to rise and follow thee up from the misty lowland in which I have wandered so long. Anyway, that's why I love Tozer. If you ever get a chance to read this from the book called The Pursuit of God, we're called to a lifelong pursuit of knowing God, not just academic reading, studying, memorizing. That's part of it. But the meditation and application in both the word hand and the prayer hand is really the key. So we're going to talk. Before I pass out the handout, I want you to help me because, again, I think you're probably familiar with the prayer hand. This is my hand, and I would like for you to help me name some types of prayer that you know about.
Intercession?
Oh, excuse me?
Intercession?
Okay, good. Intercession. I'm going to put intercession here on.
Let's start with adoration.
Okay.
Adoration, confession.
Okay. Adoration. Let's stop there. Now I'm going to put, again, pressure on you. We have been giving you scripture. Before I give the handout, can you think of a verse that tells us that we should adore or praise God? Any verses come to mind that you can share with the group or a passage?
Think you got me there.
Oh, finally. This is the first time all week I got it. Well, there are many psalms. Can you think of a psalm?
Yeah.
Psalm 145, the entire psalm is, let us praise the Lord. There are many songs about praising Him in song and musical instruments. Let all the earth praise the Lord. Psalm 146 also is Psalm 8. So, yeah, there are many psalms. So we should have a collection of psalms that we go to. If I want to spend time in praise and adoration. So we'll come back to that. You mentioned intercession. I'll put that on the little finger. I put adoration on the what we call the pointer finger. We use it to point with, because it's kind of a very important finger. What other types of prayer?
Confession.
Okay. Confession, you're right. Do you know a verse that tells us to confess? For Christians to confess.
Okay.
There, you got one there. Good. What does it say?
Okay.
What does Psalm
1 John 1:9
says?
If we confess our sins,
He is faithful
and just to forgive us our sins
and
to purify us from all
unrighteousness. Okay. All right. And again, we won't spend a lot of time going into depth about the fact that that was written to Christians and why Christians need to confess their sins if their sins are already forgiven.
Yeah.
Because we've talked about the doctrine of grace and reconciliation. We have peace with God. All of our sins for all time were paid for on the cross through Jesus Christ, through His death, through the cross, by His blood. And Dan covered this actually in one of his talks, that our relationship with God doesn't change. We confess our sins to improve our fellowship with God.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're doing it to have this sweet communion that Tozer talked about. Just to restore that fellowship. What other types?
Thanksgiving.
Right. Can you think of a verse for Thanksgiving?
Thessalonians 5.
Verses 5:18. Very good.
Give it back. Give thanks to God in all circumstances.
Okay. In all circumstances. Or pray without ceasing. Another verse says. So, that's a lot. So, and then so we have the adoration, confession, thanksgiving. I'll put these two together, because supplication is an intercession. I'm going to put on the little finger. Supplication is our request on our behalf for us. Intercession, our request on behalf of someone else. But they're personal requests. Do you have any verses on
confession? In confession, we have 5:6-17.
Then
pray without ceasing.
Oh, pray without ceasing. That's 5, yeah. Now this says in everything, yes. Pray without ceasing, that's verses 5:16, right? Or is it?
Yes. Yeah. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2.
1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Does anybody practice 1 Timothy 1 and 2? I urge them, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all. For kings. Now don't stop. For kings and all those in authority. I have to confess, I don't regularly pray for my king or my president. I do. I try harder to do that, but I have to make a conscious effort. There are other elected officials that I need to pray for. For kings and all those in authority, maybe my boss is in my authority. There's many people in authority over me. And the thumb, I'm going to call spiritual warfare prayer. And maybe you haven't heard that category before. The first four, the fingers are ACTS, act. So maybe you've seen that part. If you add intercession, you get acting. But we're going to talk about how to pray effectively in our spiritual warfare. So let's turn to Colossians 4:2 for a moment. If you would. Colossians 4, verse 2. Yeah. No. Okay, good. Okay, thank you.
Colossians 4:2.
Yes.
Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful.
Very good. What's the active verb, the verb in that? This is part of Bible study. You can just practice some of Dan's asking questions about that verse. What's the...
Watchful.
Watchful.
And thankful.
And thankful. Okay. So that's our attitude, to be watchful and thankful. What about prayer? How should we approach prayer?
Devote.
And what's that mean? Devote or devotion. Okay, that you're consistent. Any other words for devote? We're doing a Bible study here. Yes.
Let me be faithful.
Okay, faithful, committed, consistent, over time. Not just, okay, today my prayer life. So over the last 30 days, I want to ask you, I'm going to go back to the wheel illustration for a moment. And one is the lowest number, and five is a high. One means not at all. Five means I'm very satisfied. So one would be, I'm not satisfied, I'm not doing this. If you were to rank the time you spend in the Word, hear, read, study, memorize, meditate, where, think in your own mind, would you be a one, a two, a three, a four, or a five? Are you very satisfied? And you're okay, you're dissatisfied, you're extremely dissatisfied, and you could do this on any of these four spokes, and that's occasionally a good thing to do, because these spokes, the more they grow, the bigger your wheel gets, and the better your wheel travels. And also, the more equally distributed, if you have if your wheel has a 1, a 5, a 2, and a 2, there's your wheel. Does that look like a wheel? Will it roll very well? Okay, so you're trying to grow in all areas. It's great to be strong in one, but we want to be stronger. So let me ask, because you can answer this. Compared to the Word, how would you rate your prayer life? As weaker or stronger? You don't have to give me a number, but... And I'm asking for a reason, because devote means if I'm devoted to prayer... I should be, if I am devoted to prayer, I'm going to be more satisfied. And I ask because most men, over the years that I've talked to about this, most men seem like they're stronger in the Word than they are in prayer. And more Christian women seem to be stronger in prayer than they are in the Word. I've seen that over and over, in general. That's not true of everyone, but in general. And so I think it's something we need to take into account to grow in prayer. And if you'll notice, every time a reverend man meets with us, he is reinforcing the quiet time. He is constantly presenting different topics to have a quiet time over. And he passes out things like this. And so we're going to talk about that. So we've got this hand. And I'll go ahead and pass out the... Yes, here, take those that way. Here's your handout. If you'll take some... Pick those out. Yep. So if we're going to be devoted to something, I have to ask myself sometimes, well, why be devoted to something? And I need to remember my devotion is to know Christ. It's not simply so I can say I prayed 30 minutes today and my prayer life is now a 2 instead of a 1 or a 3 instead of a 2. Because actually, even when you get to 5, it's going to go up and down in your life. But what we want to encourage you to is over the course of your life to remember these illustrations. These are great illustrations that you can use your entire Christian life to help bring you back. The word hand, the prayer hand. And it's not so much, oh, I know that you know what ACTS means, but the question is, am I actually doing? And that's what convicts me. So it's a devotion, first of all, to Christ, to know Him. He Himself had a devotion to prayer. He said He rose up early in the morning to pray in Mark 1:35. He went to a solitary place and there prayed. And it's a devotion because we talked about in this session on grace that we have a great high priest, that we can come to the throne of grace every day for help in time of need, for mercy and grace to help us in time of need. So He is our priest on duty all the time, 24/7, 365. Jesus is there, ready, willing to hear our prayers to help us in our time of need. But it's also because we have a devotion to one another. Colossians 1:9 says, since the day we heard about your faith, we have not stopped praying for you. That was Paul. Paul was a prayer warrior. He was devoted to prayer, for sure. Every church he wrote letters to, he says, I pray for you day and night. So he practiced what he said when he prayed without ceasing. How did he do that? I feel good if I just spend 10 minutes in the morning in prayer. But praying day and night, then Adam wakes up in the night, he reviews his verses, probably prays. That's one way you can pray at night. When you wake up, maybe God wants us to pray and review our verses. Turn those verses, scriptures, into prayers. And we talked about that's a good way to build strength in our scripture memory, is to pray those prayers, those verses. In Romans 10:1, Paul prayed, brother, my heart's desire, my prayer to God is that Israel might be saved. So prayer involves every one of the other parts of the wheel. We pray through Christ. We pray in His Word. We pray for brothers and sisters in the Lord to grow. And Colossians 1:9, we pray for the lost, that they be saved. And we pray for our own life, that we be obedient through our own supplications. So this is a very dynamic relationship between the wheel and these two hands we talked about. So I've given you some scriptures there on adoration. There are plenty of those. Confession. We mentioned Psalm 51. Someone said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Anytime you've ever sinned, I would encourage you to keep what we call short accounts to God. Pray as soon as you recognize you're convicted, then go right back to the throne of grace. Have mercy upon me, and he will. Thanksgiving, there are so many things to be thankful for every day. I go to work and I'm thankful that I have a job. I go home from work and I'm thankful that I got home safely, that I have a home to go to. I mean, there's no end. We could spend hours, really, and we'll spend a few minutes here at the end. But I want to spend a lot more time here at the supplication and spiritual warfare. What do I mean by that? So let's read. Someone read under the supplication intercession section the verses Psalm 116, 1 and 2. And someone look ahead to Ephesians 6:18 and Colossians 4:3. Someone else be looking for John 17:15 under the next part. 2 Corinthians 1:8 through 11, 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4, 1 Thessalonians 2:18. And that We're just going to hit the highlights here.
Okay.
So, someone tell us what verse you're reading and read it, and then we'll discuss it.
I will read Ephesians.
Okay,
18.
Okay, good.
Ephesians 6:18.
Uh-huh.
Should I read first?
Yes, go ahead. That's fine.
Ephesians 6:18. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints.
Okay. Let's not talk about. That says pray in the Spirit, so we're praying. In Christ. Now, the other day, I said something about, I think, kind of a trick question. I asked, where is Jesus? And you said, well, he's in my heart. He's here. And I said, well, he's actually at the right hand of the Father. But it's still okay to speak of it as Christ in my heart, because there are plenty of scriptures that talk about, if therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm crucified with Christ. It's not no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I want to just make sure I wasn't discouraging you from thinking that Christ is in our hearts and that we're praying through Christ. So just a quick comment there. And it says, on all occasions, praying for all the saints. So again, in terms of being an obedient Christian in prayer, if I thought I was a four, and I look at that verse, I'm thinking, well, maybe now I'm a three, maybe a two. If I'm not praying for my fellow brothers, if you're not praying for everyone in your Bible study regularly, I mean very regularly, always lifting them up, then we're not devoted. We're not being devoted to prayer. And if I'm not praying for those closest to me, I'm not devoted to prayer. While we're there, well, he's gone. But Paul said right after that, while we're there, he said, pray also for me. So even Paul said, please pray for me that I may preach boldly as I should. So I only have seven of these. This is a little bookmark. It's seven things to pray for my missionary. Reverend Mann printed these. You may have one. If you do, don't take another one. But I'm going to pass them around. And it's a good reminder. It's a good way for me to carry in my prayer notebook. Say, okay, I'm going to pray for John today or another missionary. I'm going to pray maybe on Monday for their spiritual protection or their physical protection on Tuesday. So this is a very good way to be more obedient, or for me to be devoted, is to have this in my hand. Any other verses? Someone have another verse?
John 17:15.
Okay.
My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one.
Okay. Now Jesus is speaking, right? This is actually a prayer of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And we should want to pray like Jesus, and we can. What's the only thing the disciples ever asked, that recorded in Scripture, that they ever asked Jesus to teach them? Interesting. I think they too thought, you know, they're not doing too good. They're watching Jesus. They knew he got up early to pray. They, you know, teach us to pray, you know. Interesting. I don't think there's any other place that they said teach us anything else, but they knew prayer was lacking in their life. They wanted to be more devoted, and we get what we call the Lord's Prayer out of that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And Jesus taught them how to pray. That's the theme of this Quiet Time book that Reverend Mann put together. Lord, teach me to pray, from Luke 11:1. How do I have a daily quiet time alone with God? And it covers adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, intercession, and spiritual warfare, scriptures and prayers. And many of these verses are from this book. This is both a study and a quiet time book. And it's very good. Let me read something. 1 week ago, I was on the airplane flying here, and I had this... there are many hours on the airplane, and I could do various things. So I did 3 days and just in a at once here. So September 1, I recorded the date. I asked God to speak to me through His Word, and it was Psalm 119, 145, and it says, "Record in the space what God said." What God said was, "I should pray with my whole heart." Well, that sounds like we talked about wholeheartedness yesterday. That includes a commitment to be obedient, a willingness to rise early in the morning, or really any time of the night, is what the passage talked about. And I reflected on how this will affect my life. My application was to seek to grow in prayer, be willing to pray and cry out to God day and night. And at the time, it was nighttime. We were flying over the Atlantic Ocean. It was dark, and many people were trying to sleep. And then I had another one on the same day, and it was to I recorded what God said, to meditate on God's faithfulness to the past. So I said, well, I haven't done that lately. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to think about God's faithfulness to me in the past. And that encouraged me. From previous trips here, I thought, I know He will be with me on this trip because He was faithful the last time. And so I thanked Him for that. So it's not something that turns out to be a great long 20-minute prayer. I'm reading His Word and I'm just praying as my heart responds in one of these areas from what I read. If that makes sense. So another verse. Oh, we didn't talk about John 17:15. Jesus prayed for His disciples. You know, someone asked me the other night, why do we still have temptations as Christians? Why doesn't God take us to heaven? Well, Jesus, He could have prayed, Lord, take my disciples to heaven. He said, I'm not going to pray that You take them out of the world. I want them to stay there. Now, they have a mission. But I will pray that, what did He pray? Keep them from the evil one. That is a very practical application to reading that verse. If I want to start putting that prayer in my notebook. Lord, I want to intercede for my brother or my sister in the Lord. Keep them from the evil one. Maybe you think they're getting ready for a hard spiritual assignment. So I will pray. I'm learning to pick parts of Jesus' prayers, Paul's prayers, and turn them into my prayers. It's very exciting. Okay, so what's another verse we read? Anyone have another? Remember what they were? I'll write them on the board. Everyone may have looked up the same verse. So, we had Psalm 116, 1 and 2. We did Ephesians 6, Colossians 4, 3. Through 4. And we've already discussed 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, praying for our leaders to intercede for them and to be thankful for requests, intercessions, and thanksgiving made for kings and those in authority. So how often do I go and say thank You for those in authority? I want to pray You give them wisdom in their authority. And there is a promise to that. It said that we may live peaceful and quiet lives. Right, that's our desire. We need to pray for them. John 17:15, we've got 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11 is a good one. And 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. So someone read one of those and we'll
read 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11.
Okay.
We do not want you to be uniform, brothers, about the hardship we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many.
Okay. So was there a command or a principle about intercession? What intercession does he? This is Paul. He says we're going through some very hard times, trials, asking the Corinthians to pray for him, and he says something very interesting at the end, toward the very end of that verse 11. As you help us by your prayers, Paul recognized that their prayers were helping him. We don't know how, maybe. But when we pray for someone, we are helping them. Have you ever thought about that? That your prayers are not useless. We pray in according to Scripture. Again, give this pastor boldness in his preaching. Protect them from the evil one. And somehow God is instantly faster than any satellite. He hears and he is answering that prayer. And Paul says, it helps me. And I know from these trips, when I ask people to pray for me, I made a prayer guide for people back where I live to pray for us while we're here. And I can't explain it, but it seems like I know that I'm being prayed for. And I know that it's helping us. It helps us get through the week. It helps us in ways I don't even understand. There are spiritual forces in play, and the prayer holds them back, and God intervenes and sends his angels to protect us and to bless these teachings and to give you a heart to come here. All of these prayers that we prayed, so very good. That's another favorite of Reverend Mann. He really believes in the power of prayer. And that those who pray for missionaries will share in the reward of the missionary fruit, as well as those who give. So the missionary who goes, the one who stays back and prays, and the one who gives financially so that the one can go, they will all share in the fruit. So any others before we move on? Just one more maybe. Either one of these two, this is a Colossians... You can.
2 Corinthians 4:3.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 4:3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled valid to those who are perishing, minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God.
All right. So the gospel is hidden to the lost. How did you come to see it? Someone was probably praying for you. I had a grandmother who was a prayer warrior. So when I finished high school at 18 and went off into the military, I didn't know it at the time, but later when I came to know Christ about a year later, and I went back to visit her in my hometown, I understood that how faithful she was in praying for all of her grandchildren. I think she had 32 grandchildren, and she prayed for all of them. That's a lot of prayer. But so someone was probably praying for you. I give credit to those who prayed for me. We need to remember that we need to pray against Satan blinding the minds of those that we're trying to witness to. So before we ever go out to witness, we need people praying, Lord, remove the blindness that Satan's putting on there. We need intercessors to pray for our witnessing. This is 434. Yes, sorry,
I'll take it
before time. Okay, that's fine. I'm about ready. Thank you. All right. Well, anyway, the point is not just to show you another nice picture, but to encourage you and challenge you, as well as challenge myself, because I'm still wanting to become more devoted in prayer and want to keep growing in all areas of this Christian life. I never outgrow this illustration. I've been a Christian now for 40 plus years. And the word hand, this wheel, it's a continual help to me to keep on growing. So you have your handout, the palm. The palm of the hand is similar to the palm of the word hand. It's application. So turn on the back of the handout. I'd like to just encourage you to, again, think about this thought. We learn to pray by praying. So, in one sense, if what Dan said is true, you're going to forget 95% of what I just told you. But if you take this home and study it, you'll increase that. And if you begin to pray, that's how you're going to learn how to pray, really. And that's what I'm going to encourage you to do. And so, at the bottom of the handout, these are scriptures that have examples of all these types of prayers. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, intercession, warfare. We need to integrate those into our prayer life and your notebook. And it is a discipline. It does take work, and it's hard. There's a verse that says, Epaphras, I think, labored or wrestled in prayer. So it takes energy. And there are many times I just say, I'm just too tired to pray. But I need to pray anyway. And maybe 5 minutes later or an hour later, I'll pray again. But pray throughout the day. The things that keep us from praying are effectively is unbelief. God asks us to pray believing in His Word. If I have unconfessed sin, Psalm 66:18 says, if I cherish sin in my heart, the Lord will not listen. But He will listen if I come to Him and keep my confession current. And then sometimes my prayers aren't effective because they're simply selfish. So I'd like to close with another little quote here from Tozier. He said that Tozier understood that there is a paradox in the soul of love to have found God and still pursue Him. This is what I read before, but it's so good. I want you to think about this. There will come a time in your life where this, the danger is you'll become so familiar with these tools and growing a disciple, it could become routine and you lose your desire. And so we need to renew our desire not only to love God, but to want to love Him even more. And even when you don't feel like it, we should pray. Because it would be dangerous to be in a position where we don't feel like it and not pray. And we should pray when we do feel like it, because it would be sad to feel like it and then miss the opportunity to pray when we feel like it. I know many men who've told me over the years that sometimes they get ready to pray and they phrase it, they say their heart feels like a cold block of wood. So sometimes what warms my heart up is just to start praying. Okay, it's an act of my will. I have to choose. I'm going to start praying. That's what these quiet times are for, and this notebook is to do. Is that it's sometimes like marriage. And I know you're not married. You will be someday. And he's praying for a wife. So.
Okay.
It's a prayer request. We pray for. I pray for all of you to have a godly wife. But there are some days when you don't necessarily feel in love. You know what? You may not know what I'm saying. Andre would know. But I choose to love. And as I choose to do things for my wife, then the feeling comes back. Not first. I don't wait till the feeling. I choose to love her first, and then the feelings come. I hope that makes sense. It's the same many times with our relationship with the Lord. So don't think, well, I don't feel like praying today. That's the very time when I need to just go ahead and pray. And just be honest and talk to Him. It all about all kinds of things. Pray about everything, as we say. So let me close in prayer, and we'll go. We do want to know you. Our hearts sometimes are cold and hard, and I pray that you would give us a desire, and when we don't have the desire, we'll have a willingness to continue to pursue you, not just in our younger days, but later when things get busy and harder, that we will press on to know you. Thank you for these men and our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.